Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of council, each week I ask the question to the community and the people in this room is, how are the children? And the reason we ask that question is we know that when our children are well, when they're well-educated, have a roof over their head, and caring adults in their lives, that our larger community is well, too. So what we do is that we invite people in to talk to us about issues that affect children and young people. And this morning we have three students from Hosford Middle School, and all of them are involved with Project Citizen, which I think they'll explain when they come up. So Savannah, Mallory, and Jordan, could you please come forward? Just have to tell you that I also went to Hosford. Are there still dinosaurs roaming around there?
No.
Excuse me.
Go ahead and start, folks. Just and state your name when you speak.
Hi, my name is Mallory. We're eighth graders at Hosford Middle School who have been studying the curriculum of Project Citizen, which is part of the Classroom Law Project.
Oh, I'm Savannah Baber.
I'm Jordan Kenny Guy.
My friend and classmate once got into a car accident because a stop sign was covered 80% by a tree. This is a memory she'll have with her forever and wants to help make a difference, just like all of us standing before you today. Hosford Middle School is located in the heart of inner city Southeast Portland. There are many business districts, schools, parks, and residential areas around us. There are also a lot of pedestrians, drivers, buses, cyclists, children, and lots of trees. The problem we are studying, stop signs being covered by trees, became aware to us when trees in our neighborhood began blooming this spring. 21% of stop signs within walking distance of our school are covered by trees. The current policy states that all traffic devices must be visible by at least 100 feet away. This seems sufficient, but hardly anyone knows or pays attention to this rule. The results of a neighborhood survey showed that citizens who live nearby agree it's a problem that needs to be solved.
After much thought about the issue, our class decided that the best way to solve the problem would be striping stop sign poles like candy canes. This once-and-for-all solution has been used effectively in Tigard and Seattle already. The advantages of this solution would be that the reflective tape would be seen easily through shrubbery, at night, and from far away. There's also no legal impediment against striping stop signs, according to the Code of Federal Regulations under Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices. After extensive research, we found no state or city law prohibiting striping of stop signs in our neighborhood. Because of this, it would be in one word, ideal.
Striping stop signs will make them safe for the public. Striping stop signs is an inexpensive and easily achieved alternative. We got community support by presenting to the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association. They wrote us another notarized letter of support. Now we are presenting our proposition to you all, hoping for your support. We propose that the city stripes the 21% of stop signs covered by trees within walking distance of Hosford Middle School. At the end of the summer, we could hand out surveys and see how effective it was. Then, if it is an effective overall solution, the city could stripe more stop signs around Portland.
Excellent.
Yeah, sounds good.
Questions or statements from the commissioners?
Well, as a transportation commissioner, I look forward to hearing more from you. And I think it sounds like a really good idea that we should pilot around Hosford Abernathy and see how it goes. And I really appreciate all your work and your concern for traffic and transportation safety and pedestrian safety. It's great.
I understand that you won an award with this project in Salem.
Yeah, we came in first in the state of all the schools who did Project Citizen.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning. We really appreciate it. Can we give these young folks a hand? Thank you. And you don't have to stay around for the rest of the meeting. It's kind of boring. Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 633, request of Carl Cromie to address council regarding problems with Water Bureau and City Hall security. Mr. Cromie called. He will not be able to make it.
Okay.
634, request of Nathan Jimenez to address council regarding preservation of the 1307 Broadway building.
Could you read the name once again?
Nathan Jimenez.
Okay, guess he's a no-show too. Move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Do any members of this audience wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
Commissioner Adams had 651 to pull.
651.
Right. I need to refer back item number 651 to my office.
Hearing no objection, so move. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stem?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 635, amend the intergovernmental agreement with the Port of Portland related to Portland International Airport and increase allowable compensation up to $819,804 to reimburse the city for cost related to a 34-month joint city and port planning process titled Airport Futures.
Thank you. Staff? Morning, Mary.
Morning.
Go ahead, Gil.
Yep. Good morning, Mayor and Council. Gil Kelly, Director of the Bureau of Planning, and with me to my left is Mary Maxwell from the Port of Portland, and to my right is Jay Sugnet from the Planning Bureau, who's the planning's project manager on this position, and whose counterpart, Chris Korich, is here from the Port as well today. I want to just introduce this item briefly and then introduce the others who will be giving you very brief presentations before opening for testimony. This is one in a series now of meetings that begun actually in 2000 when the City Council passed a resolution that signaled a shift away in terms of the airport long-term planning from a conditional use master plan to a legislative plan, you know, based on a true long-term master plan prepared by the port. The legislative process to be conducted by the city. We followed that up in 2004 with the specifics about what that would look like through an intergovernmental agreement that was negotiated between the port and the city and the community. So we had active community involvement in that 2004 IGA. We are here today to amend that, specifically to receive funds from the port to pay for staff and the expenses necessary to prepare that legislative plan. And that's the action that's really in front of the council today, is to adopt the amendments to that 2004 IGA. Those would then go on to the Port Commission for adoption as well. This has been a negotiated arrangement all the way through between the port and the city, and we look forward to the continued partnership in this arena to actually develop a long-term master plan there for the port. The port, as you will hear from the others, has a regional role extending even beyond the metro area. But we have all along tried to incorporate concerns and involvement by regional members, so including Clark County and East Multnomah County cities, as well as Portland neighborhoods and other community representatives. In my discussions with various council members leading up to today's hearing, I understand that much of your discussion today may focus on one feature of this partnership, which is the advisory group, which will be asked to advise me and my counterparts at the port and ultimately advise the Planning Commission and Council as this plan is developed. And I'll just say at the opening, I'm sure we'll come back to this after testimony, that we have strive to create a group there that in its advisory role is both a manageable size. We're at about 25 members now, which is sort of kind of at the limit of workability for actual working sessions, but also accommodates a balance of local and regional interest and of business, government, neighborhood, and other community interests. So we can discuss that as we go forward. I know that will be a topic of discussion in today's hearing. I did want to say, though, that as part of that advisory group, we're very pleased to have the mayor having appointed, as well as Director Bill Wyatt from the port, has appointed Bill Blosser to be the chair, and he is here today, and will address you briefly. I probably don't need to give you Bill's background. He's quite well known and respected, and we're very, very pleased that Bill's agreed to be chair of that advisory group, and that the vice chair, Dave Smith, is from Vancouver. So we're really making this a regional effort. And Dave could unfortunately not be here today, but has had a long-term involvement in airport issues leading up to this appointment as vice chair. So we're very, very pleased about that. I think with that, I'd like to just turn it over to Mary, and Mary can give you the port's perspective on these amendments to the agreement, and then we'll go through the presentation, give you a bit more in-depth by Jay, and then roll through the agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Gil. I'm Mary Maxwell. I'm the Director of Aviation for the Port of Portland. And when you think about PDX, PDX really is a regional asset. We are the critical, provide the critical market access to our community, both in Oregon and Southwest Washington. I'm really pleased, and I want to thank you for your participation and efforts in helping us recruit international service that is so vital to this community. We're very proud of the international service that we have, direct nonstop service to Asia, Europe, Mexico, and we just inaugurated an additional nonstop to Mexico City from PDX just this last weekend. And we appreciate all the support that we have had from the mayor and the commissioners in helping us recruit and retain this level of service. We also have nonstop service to the top 29 of our 30 domestic markets. This type of service is really important to our community, and it's really driven by the demand of the passengers in this area for this type of service. Without their demand and their use of the service, it would not exist. 2006 was a record year for PDX. We exceeded 14 million passengers, and this is the first time since prior to 2001 that we had a record year. We had over 280,000 tons of cargo shipped out of PDX. As I said, we're a community asset, but we also feel a responsibility to our community to provide not only high-quality air service but customer service. We were pleased last year to be recognized by Condé Nast Traveler magazine as the best U.S. airport in the country. But national recognition goes beyond just customer service and air service. We're also nationally recognized for our efforts in the environment. We have been recognized for our sustainability efforts, for our recycling efforts, and many other environmental initiatives that we support. The last 15 years at PDX have been busy. We've virtually rebuilt the entire terminal building. In the next 5 years, we will spend over $500 million in improvements to the airport. These improvements will include a new parking garage, expansion of the roadway in and out of the terminal building area, installing an inline baggage screening system to improve security. And in addition to that, we will do an extensive expansion of our de-icing handling system as part of our environmental efforts. So you can imagine that master plan updates are important to an airport so that we can plan these extensive capital investments at the right time and over the right period of time. Development is driven by regional demand. We do not have a philosophy of build it and they will come. We build based on demand. Based on the level of investment that's required at airports, and you can imagine with $500 million being spent in the next 5 years, the airlines who pay for this infrastructure are concerned about the cost at the airport. There's hardly a day that goes by that I'm not talking to the airlines about the airport's cost structure. So we don't intend to build before it's needed, and we build based on demand. So flexibility in the future is key to us. As part of the conditional use master plan, which was approved for PDX in 2000, the port created a PDX Land Use Advisory Committee, otherwise known as LUAC. And I've personally been a part of this group for the last 2.5 years. This group's reviewed numerous of the follow-on studies that were part initiated as a response to the 2000 master plan. They've also reviewed all the major PDX developments in the last 7 years. LUAC was also very instrumental in defining the public involvement program for this next planning phase. We also invited AIR, the Airport Issues Roundtable, CNEC, the Citizens Noise Advisory Committee, and the Columbia SLU Watershed Council to share their perspectives about the citizen involvement participation in this process. I'm pleased to say that LUAC endorsed the planning advisory group and its composition and the public involvement approach that the staff will outline for you in more detail. I do, however, understand that there is some concern about some of the composition to the committee, and we would be glad to engage in that discussion with you, and we look for working with you on a solution to bring the right mix and participation to that committee. I'd just like to say that the port and the city staff that are going to be involved in this project are excited. They're ready to go. We've been working on the scope and the outline and the planning for this for quite some time. And at this point, I would like to just quickly recognize, and so you can see some of the faces of the people that are going to be working on this project. If I could have the City of Portland staff stand that's going to be working on the project. Thank you. And the Port of Portland staff that's here that's going to be involved in the project. So these are faces that hopefully you will be seeing a lot of. We intend to come back to the commission frequently to give updates on the project, and we invite your participation and involvement. It is our intention, the first Planning Advisory Committee meeting is hopefully set for June 26. We're ready to get going on this project. It's going to be a three-year project. There's a lot of energy and excitement about moving ahead. We want this to be a very open and participatory process, and it is probably the most open and participatory process the port has ever undertaken, and we appreciate the city's involvement and commitment to that. At this point, I'd like to introduce Port Commissioner Mary Olson, who will be representing the Port Commission on the Planning Advisory Committee. And she would like to offer a few comments.
Good morning. My name is Mary Olson. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Port of Portland Commission. I'm representing Bill Wyatt, who today is in Asia, meeting with carriers about additional service to our region. As we, both the city and the port, embark on this groundbreaking collaborative effort, our goals are aligned. That is to develop an airport futures plan that addresses the city's needs as well as the operational needs of the airport. I assure you of the port's commitment to public involvement. As you know, this joint planning process with the city has extensive public involvement associated with it. Public involvement is something the port takes very seriously. On Monday, the port invited over 50 community leaders to participate in discussions regarding the port's long-term strategic plan. PDX recently completed an update to its noise abatement plan. The public participation in this process was significant and effective. As a result of public input, both by the public who served directly on the formal committee, as well as the public that participated from the audience, the port addressed concerns regarding regional cargo feeders, even though the process, the FAA Part 150 noise abatement process, did not address this issue. I want to emphasize that the Port Futures Plan on which we are about to embark is a joint planning effort between the city and the port. As commissioners, we all bring different areas of expertise, law, business, labor, etc. I'm considered the finance person. As such, when staff brings projects to the commission, they know to somehow work in the cost. And while cost is not the sole deciding factor, it certainly is an important factor. We are expecting to spend approximately $4.5 million on this project, the city reimbursement portion being a pretty small portion of that in terms of $820,000. Certainly the public involvement increased costs, but we, the port, are more than willing to bear those costs because we know in the end the resulting plan will be better for it. Today, you are about to hear differing views regarding the size and composition of the PAG. I represented the commissioners on the Part 150 the noise abatement study. This is a group similar in size to the PAG. If this group had been any larger, I seriously doubt that the issue of the regional cargo feeders would have been addressed. It was because over time we came to know one another and had time for each of us to express our views that we listened. We listened to each other and we listened to the public, who were the ones to initially raise this issue. It was actually the public sitting in the audience who came to our meetings and said, hey, we have a problem with the cargo feeders. We decided as a group that even though we could not address this issue directly in the Part 150, because this issue was not mandated in the Part 150, we suspended our efforts in concluding the Part 150 to address the public concerns. Therefore, the size and composition of PEG needs to ensure that this type of dialogue and this type of bonding is allowed to happen. It also needs to include a regional view, as PDX serves a large region of Oregon, not just Portland. Additional participation in this process will be available through PEG subcommittees, which will allow additional stakeholders to share their perspectives on the process in a more focused way. These subcommittees will report back to the PEG. The city work plan before you and the scopes of work and public involvement program for the larger effort is based on the 2004 Intergovernmental Agreement. Over 43 meetings will have been held prior to the kickoff, which we hope to have on June 26th. There has been extensive citizen comments to date on the PAG and the public involvement plan. Both the city and citizens participated in the aviation consultant and facilitator selection panels. I would urge the council, as I will urge the Port Commission, to honor LUAC's endorsement of the process and allow this groundbreaking effort to get underway. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I have a couple of clarifying questions, but are you done with your presentation?
Mm-hmm. We still have a couple other folks to speak.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation. I wanted to clarify the intent of this. In the attachments, it talks about the group will advise the port on the port's master plan and the city on the city's legislative land use process related to the port airport. And so the advisory committee sort of has two roles. One to advise the Port Commission because the master plan does not come to the City Council, and one to advise the land use agreement. Is that correct?
Yeah. Commissioner, excuse me. Staff does have a very quick presentation, and I think we'll answer that question as part of that.
So my question to you is, are you asking us at any time in the upcoming process to consider the third runway issue?
The third runway issue would be part of the master plan. Look at the need for facilities over the long term at PDX. So it is part of the master planning process.
Is it part of what you're asking us to consider or bless?
Well, we wouldn't be asking for you to consider anything at this time except allowing us to start the joint planning process and the master planning study and the joint land use process.
No, in the future, is the process that we're agreeing jointly to manage today into the future, by the end of that process or any time during that process, are you going to be asking the Portland City Council to opine or consider whether or not the airport should build a third runway?
The sort of maybe the legislative process here is really two different paths. The Port Commission and the FAA have the approval over the master planning process. You have approval over the land use designation process. That's not to say that we will certainly intend to be back to you on numerous occasions to present where we are with both the master planning and the land use process, and to seek your input and your involvement in that discussion.
So I think what the commissioner is asking is, are you committing yourself, if we bring a master plan to you that includes consideration of a third runway, That master plan would have all kinds of conditions that if this, and this happened, then yes, there would need to be a third runway. That could very well be in the master plan. But if and when that third runway were required, I'd have to ask you, you can't just build it. I mean, we'd have to come back to the commission with a specific request to do that. But this master plan is a long-range look out 20 years. You know, the only thing we know for certain is that it won't work out the way that we plan it out. So
I just and I'll pause in my questioning on that particular issue now and see if it's answered through some of the subsequent presentations. What I'm concerned about is when we're no longer here in these positions and you're no longer in your positions because of the long-term nature of this plan, I want to make it really clear up front as part of and make it part of this conversation for the legislative record that either this planning process includes consideration of a third runway or not, so that future councils won't be in sort of the position that it's not clear that the third runway, I don't want it to be misinterpreted by future councils or future port managers that because the third runway shows up as an illustration in the port master plan that we have somehow blessed it or considered it, because it's my understanding that we're not going to be considering or giving any kind of blessing or denial to it, the third runway.
Absolutely. No one is approving through this planning process the future of the third runway. And let me kind of explain what we do. As part of our requirements with the FAA is we have to periodically update the master plan. You know, 5 years after this master plan is completed, we will be back taking another look at the master plan, looking again at forecasts for traffic. We will be looking at technology enhancements, and we will continue to evaluate the time frames for all improvements at the airport based on demand, technology, and a whole variety of factors. So
what I hear you saying so far, and we can have more conversation with future testifiers, is that we are not going to be making a judgment on the third one. We, the City Council,
of when it's
are
going
not
to be
going
built.
To be making a judgment on the third runway. And if in the future the port wants to build a third runway, even after this is done, they would still have to come back to the City Council and have us consider it yes or no. That's what I've heard.
I need to throw a cautionary note out here just so that we all understand what we're doing. I mean, we are working on a master plan, and absolutely I fully expect and anticipate the discussion of a third runway within the master plan. And if this advisory group recommends to the council a master plan that includes a third runway, basically the council has adopted a map for the future, although it has not technically approved the land use amendments that would be technically required for the actual construction. It certainly would give the benefit of the doubt
that's
for future council.
Keeping in mind exactly what
you were doing here.
Yeah, the master plan is a guide to the future. It is not a permission to build.
Okay, so I appreciate this is my concern. So if you could answer whether my summary, which is on tape and on record, is accurate, that would be great.
I think the way you put it, Gil Kelly, Planning Director, I think the way you put it, Commissioner Adams, is exactly our understanding. That is to say, while the master plan, which the port refers to as kind of their internal strategic plan in a way, the city will not be considering a third one runway as part of this current process.
Well, but
if they determine there's a need for that in the future, they would have to come back and amend whatever approvals they get today, and that would.
And they could not build it without coming back to the Portland City Council.
Correct,
but I think it's a little misleading for people to think that this process won't include consideration of a third runway. Absolutely, well. I absolutely anticipate it to be part of the discussion, and I absolutely anticipate that the recommendation would come back with some form of a third runway. I mean, so a future council that was handed a book 15 years from now that included what this group did will be a recommendation potentially for a third runway, and certainly it's not technically binding on future councils. I would think that a future council that didn't want to revisit the entire issue would be guided by the plan that's going to be developed out of this process, including the recommendation to build a third runway. The upshot being that we want to make sure that we're considering all of these factors carefully through this planning process, because it does carry a lot of weight when it's done.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I think my understanding is we want to have a very open process here. So whatever the port's thinking in terms of their very long term, including a third runway, we want that to be able to be reviewed and discussed.
Absolutely.
But the decision coming forward will not include permission for a third runway.
No, Gil, but it will include a recommendation in the plan that would be adopted.
Well, the port's own strategic plan or master plan, if you will, may do that.
I'm talking about this.
That is not going to come forward for part of the city's approval.
This advisory group, the Airport Futures Planning Advisory Group, will consider a third runway.
I think they want to be able to talk about the need for it to help inform the port.
Yeah, I'm not, Commissioner Leonard, I'm not on the advisory group. That's not what I'm asking questions about now. I'm asking questions about what will be before the city council through this. And I am concerned that if it shows up in the master plan, that future councils somehow think that it had the blessing, the tacit approval, and I think that's your concern, the tacit approval of a city council. Are we going to be approving or in considering in any way the port's master plan?
No, you will not be. It will be part of the background information that shows you the evolution of the smaller recommendation that will be before the council. We can make very explicit when it comes forward that this council is not approved. Just because there's something in the long-term port's master plan doesn't indicate your pre-approval of anything, and that's an open issue.
Is there any way, because there's been some concerns expressed, I want to give you all a chance on this issue to address them, that somehow if the land use decisions that we're making will allow a certain amount of expansion to port usage, that it will automatically trigger either the FAA or it'll automatically require the port through some other means to build a third runway. So sort of the scenario glibly titled sort of the third runway through the back door.
Yeah. I think what's really contemplated here is expansion of the terminal facility. We will keep our eye on that issue, Commissioner Adams. That's certainly not what any of us are contemplating. I think there's a way to be very explicit about that with the committee, with the port, and with yourselves.
If I might add, the complexity of building new runways in today's environment, I'm sure in the future environment, with the process that has to be gone through to get approval to build a third runway, extensive environmental studies, approval from the FAA, funding from the airlines and the FAA, it's a very lengthy, detailed process that certainly would not suddenly the port start turning dirt very quickly to build a third runway without going through an extensive public involvement, public review process as part of the environmental assessment, the environmental impact statement that would have to happen for that third runway. But again, the master plan is updated every 5 to 7 years, and it would continue to be looked at in terms of the appropriate timing or need for that, and we have all the expectations that the third runway is a long way off because we will continue to see technological improvements that will allow us to handle more and more aircraft within the current configuration of the airport.
And again, I'll leave it alone. Appreciate your indulgences. It's just a hot button issue.
Absolutely.
And I just want to know, we're going to talk about the composition of the committee later, but I just want to know whether it's part of our consideration, meaning the city council through this process, or not. And what I've heard you say, it is not part of our consideration. Therefore, we will not be passing any judgment on the third runway issue, and that there isn't any way for the port to sort of back in a backdoor manner build a runway without coming back to the city council.
That's what I heard correct.
You say. Thank you.
Well, but again, I need to just to be clear here. I'm looking at the ordinance that we're going to vote on here in a little bit, and item 3 says, in the winter of 2002, the city and the port signed an intergovernmental agreement specifying a general timeline for short-term and long-term planning efforts that would culminate in an adopted legislative land use process and designation for Portland International Airport. And then the very next paragraph, in 2004, the Bureau of Planning, together with the port, city bureaus, and a group of citizens representing the Air Traffic Issues Roundtable and other interest groups, developed a second agreement over a 12-month period. So again, I mean, Commissioner Adams said we won't be giving any blessing to it. And don't think that by my saying this, I'm suggesting that I wouldn't support a third one. I'm not. But I want to be real clear in the context of the questions Commissioner Adams is raising, that the intent of this is to develop a master plan that includes potentially a third runway. And these issues will be flushed out, good and bad, during this process. And certainly we won't be voting to accept a report that decides the third runway goes in, but we will be voting to accept a report that very well could include a recommendation for a third runway out of this, and I would think that would heavily impact future councils, as it should. I would expect that it would. And I wouldn't want us all, I think you would agree, if we all go through this and do our best and come up with recommendations, we certainly wouldn't want somebody in the future to redo all of what we're doing now. That's the whole point of doing it the way we are, and attempting to tweak it to be as collaborative as possible so it's a solid document and a solid set of recommendations. So, I mean,
the only thing that I would say, Commissioner Leonard, to clarify is that we will not ask the council to adopt the port's master plan. We will be asking you to adopt a legislative plan on behalf of the city that does not include the third runway. It may include a number of other features and elements that would be permitted. It should the third runway, which may exist in the long-term master plan, become a reality in terms of the port's need for it, that would have to come back through a new legislative process.
But the master plan the port adopts out of this process will include this group that's going to flush these issues, correct?
Yes, that group will be advising the port, yes.
Okay, and so the group that we're working hard to make sure is balanced for the very reasons I'm saying.
Sure.
Because the recommendations will carry such weight. So whether the council actually technically adopts or not, we are voting on this that creates this group that will create that plan. And I would think that future councils rightfully should be heavily influenced by all of these decisions and sign off on the composition, because we're going to flush that out here and make sure that we're starting all on an even kind of keel. So I understand the technical part of what you're saying, but I wouldn't want people to think that somehow there's going to be a whole brand new process to approve a third runway, because I'm pretty sure the port's going to come in and go, look at future council, here's a master plan, it included your people that were appointed by the mayor and the council, and it included our people, and here's what it recommended, and there's no need to revisit this issue, which I would think would be an appropriate thing to say.
I doubt we're going to get that clear of a statement at the end. I think that what you're more likely to hear is that this group will have a whole lot of cautions about the third runway, and that will be subject to a whole legislative process.
It could say we recommend a third runway under these conditions. And
there's always that possibility.
And that's why up front you want to make sure that it's as balanced as possible.
Okay. You and I are working two different concerns. I would agree with Commissioner Leonard. My concern was just, again, what's coming back to us for this moment. We'll get into the composition.
So I'd like to invite Chris Korch up, and we'll just give you a very quick overview that hopefully it'll help clarify what it is we're doing, what the two deliverables are. And this is hopefully a very short and painless PowerPoint. So again, Jay Sugnet with the Bureau of Planning. I'm the project manager for Airport Futures. With me today is Chris Korch, general manager of long-range planning at the airport. I think the previous presenters gave you a pretty good overview of the process to date, so I'll skip through these pretty quickly. But I did want to emphasize the collaborative process that's outlined in the 2004 IGA, and the fact that we did have a lot of community help us with that. The two deliverables, which I think a lot of the questions are so far, Chris is going to talk about what the master plan will do, and I'm going to talk more about the city's land use plan and what we anticipate council to be hearing at the end of this process. So it is two distinct processes, and it's envisioned in 2004. Basically, we see the planning advisory group as sort of the glue that holds this all together. And as stated, we hope to start very soon and bring something back to you in the spring of 2010. And so I'll turn it over to Chris.
My name is Chris Korch. I'm the general manager of long-range planning, and this is a great picture. It shows the airport in the middle and the city of Portland on the south, and clearly we are a part of the city and surrounded by industrial and residential land uses, but Of course, to the north of that is the city of Vancouver, and it speaks to the idea that it is a regional facility, and I think you all appreciate the context of that. A comment that was made by Commissioner Leonard was considering everything carefully as we go forward in this master plan, and the limit of the airport that you see highlighted, there's about 3,200 acres, and as we go forward making long-range plans and making major investments, we want to make sure we don't put something in the wrong place. You could go ahead and click the next slide. It is critical. We have limited space. It guides our investment and operational decisions. Now, coming out of the 2000 plan, we had two alternatives that were left on the table. And as we've worked with the community and the intergovernmental agreements, we did make an agreement that we would start this master planning process with those two alternatives. One of the things that was done, and I'll show you pictures of those in a moment, but one of the things that was done to conclude that plan was we had a regional air transportation demand task force, and Commissioner Hales at the time was a member of that task force. And they looked at a variety of issues, including the forecast and some of the assumptions that went into the plan, and their conclusion was we needed to plan for growth at PDX, we needed to keep our options open, and we needed to grow smarter. And those factors were incorporated in the master plan that we concluded, and they're certainly going to be part of this master plan as we go forward. This is what we call the centralized alternative that came out of that last master plan. It's called centralized because all passenger development is in the central area, essentially surrounding where the existing terminal is. We'd have some expansion to the east, and we'd build a satellite concourse to the west, and to the north is the river and Vancouver and Washington, and to the south is the city of Portland. It does include a third parallel runway as a concept, again, because we need to know if we need to plan new facilities in the future, that runway is going to be critical. We can't just put that willy-nilly anywhere. I can tell you that in terms of planning, we think we need about 500,000 takeoffs and landings before we would ever need such a facility. Seattle has twice as many passengers as we have, and they have about 320,000 takeoffs and landings. We have about 260,000 now. San Francisco has three times as many passengers as we have, and I think they have 370,000 takeoffs and landings. So the kind of magnitude, the kind of growth that this community would have to see before you're going to need a facility like that, a third runway, again, 500,000, that's the size of Detroit or Minneapolis. It's very huge. It's not something that's imminent. And the planning process to build something like that will include a huge NEPA process, which will be there even if we are not. And it's not something that goes easily as you go forward. So the FAA cannot mandate that we put it in, and it's something that we think it's prudent to plan for, and that's what we intend to do. This is centralized.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Sure.
Before you go to a different topic on that issue, and again, sorry to harp, but there's a lot of paranoia about it. I want to air the issue out as much as possible for the record is, based on your growth trends now, what year would you see needing to actively consider a third runway?
You know, I actively consider. It could be at least 20 years out based on any reasonable, probably longer than that. What we see, as I pointed out, Seattle, San Francisco, both much larger airports, we see larger airplanes coming and going. Our highest operations number was 322,000. We have dropped since 9/11 to 260,000. It's going in the other direction. Planes are fuller. I know, Mayor, you've been on a plane recently. It was probably full. And the planes are getting larger. So this is not something that's coming down the road anytime soon, but it is something we need to plan for. So it's a very, very long-term need, nothing imminent. But we do think it's prudent to plan for. The other alternative that was in that plan was called decentralized. It's illustrated on the graph now. Essentially, it would create a separate terminal facility to the south where the military is today. And that possible third parallel runway is shown here south of that. So it would fit on the airport property that we own today, although some acquisition was needed. The decentralized terminal seemed to work better. It allowed us to divide the passenger load up between two facilities. And so those two alternatives were left on the table, and those are what we'd move forward with as we do the plan.
Excuse me, Jay Segner with the Planning Bureau again. City land use plan, so the two processes parallel but integrated. So currently the airport operates as a conditional use in an industrial zone and has to meet certain criteria in the code every 8 to 10 years. And this really is not, the system doesn't work well. It's frustrating for the port. It's more of a paper exercise. It's frustrating for the city. It's kind of a drain on the general fund. Most importantly, the community wasn't satisfied because their issues were not being considered. The criteria were very limited. So our hope is to create a plan that provides the port with some flexibility that Mary talked about, and allows the city to conduct this legislative process to examine the increasingly complex issues, but also, more importantly, have the community have a greater say in influencing decisions out at the airport. So what we hope to bring to council will be an amended comprehensive plan and a zoning code, so likely a new plan district. We're kind of following the model of OHSU, where we transitioned from conditional use to a plan district. There will be city review processes and approval processes, and these are going to be based on the impacts of the development as opposed to an arbitrary timeline. So if there is increased growth or increased impacts, then we'll be able to set up the reviews that are appropriate. So certainly for a third runway, that would imply coming back through another legislative process. And then finally, negotiated agreements. This is, I think, a cornerstone for the community and for the city and the port, is how do we memorialize all these promises that were made during the planning process and make sure that they get implemented over time. Wanted to give you a very quick overview of the public involvement program, and these are directly from the 2004 IGA, a balanced and fair public involvement process, ensure that stakeholders are fully informed. But the key here is really, you know, influencing the decision-making for giving the community that opportunity. And the planning process that we have envisioned over the next 34 months is pretty extensive. I mean, there are going to be 19 planning advisory group meetings, 14 public meetings, both north of the river and south of the Columbia, 5 planning commission, 4 city council, 6 port commission, and there'll be ongoing outreach to pretty much anyone who wants to hear us talk about this project. And I wanted to emphasize that, you know, the planning advisory group really is not the only game in town here. We're trying to create a process where we can bring people to us or go out to the community instead of requiring people to come to us. So Mary also mentioned there are subcommittees that will be able open to pretty much anyone who wishes to participate. They will be thoroughly discussing issues and bringing those back to the advisory group. There will also be a technical advisory group. So not just agencies, city government agencies, but also any interest group that has a technical expertise. So that we'll be bringing them along and pulling them into the discussion when it's appropriate. And just the diagram helps clarify sort of what the Portland Planning Commission will be hearing versus City Council, and City Council versus Port Commission and the FAA.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
On the process? You talked about the narrow approval criteria that exists right now for the conditional use process. Can you give me an example? And if you can't, that's fine, but do you have an example, or can you tell me more about the narrow criteria and an example where one or more stakeholders were sort of left unsatisfied with the existing process?
Right. A good example is there's a criteria that the port must have a noise abatement plan. And the court submitted a noise abatement plan, and the hearings officer said, check, you've met this. And it was very frustrating for the community because they felt that, you know, the criteria should say more than just requiring that a document exist. So does that help with
this? Yes, that does. And then in terms of how the committee will work, and I found asking this very practical housekeeping question up front to be useful, and that is the committee going to work on a consensus basis, a majority basis? We'll have majority and minority reports. What do you envision as the person leading the staffing for the committee? What do you envision as the decision-making process?
Well, can I defer that to Bill Blosser, our future chair? Because we've tried to leave this open as possible and have the chair sort of help us determine how the decision is going to be made, and also leave a lot of it to the PAG once they're formed. Because we want them to finally decide.
Thank you.
So this was alluded to also, you know, over 43 stakeholder meetings to design the process that we have. And we've been doing this since 2000. The community has been involved significantly. I won't go through the full list, but we did go to we went to Planning Commission. We had a tour for the Planning Commissioners because they're going to be the ones that are really going to be getting into the details of this project. But we've also been going out and talking to regional elected officials, and I just can't overemphasize how much we have been going out and talking to folks about this process. And then I'm going to turn it over to Chris, just talk about the key changes that have been made since we brought this to the community and the Land Use Advisory Committee back in November.
Thank you. We have, again, we've shopped this around more extensively than any project in my recent memory, and some of the changes include reducing the timeline. We originally thought it was going to take 4 years, and we had laid it out that way, but we realized, based on input, that you just couldn't keep people engaged. We needed to be more efficient with their time and with our time to get to an outcome. We've included edits and comments on the facilitator and the consultant work scope from citizens as well as LUAC, so we've shopped that around and included their input there. They were on the selection panel for both of those consultants. The public involvement program has the fingerprints of a number of people all over it. We really have tried to get the input. We didn't go away and do this in a vacuum. And again, as Jay said, we've tried to emphasize public involvement, including the PAG, but not be just the PAG, because even with a great representation, there are a lot more people in the city, and we want to give them a chance to have their input. In terms of size, we started out with 44 members. If you have a two-hour meeting and you have 44 people, you get about a minute and a half to speak, and that leaves no time. So we did reduce that size to 25, and that's still a pretty large group, but we felt like that was workable. We added five slots for the community side, one environmental, two Portland neighborhood, and one Clark County and East County representative. So we tried to respond to the desire to have more representation in that group. We've added Airport Issues Roundtable as one of the neighborhood coalition representatives. We've more clearly defined the technical advisory pool, where city staff and other government agencies that have expertise can be involved in the process and help inform our planning as we move forward. We've opened the subcommittees to stakeholders. It's a way to really expand the planning advisory group to a wider body of people. It does have a center of members from the PAG, but they can bring in other expertise, and we think that helps widen things out. In the end, it's not about voting. The group is advisory to both the City Council and to the Port Commission. I mean, in the end, the votes that count will be the votes that you cast and the votes that the Port Commission cast. But we will have failed if, when we get to the end of this process, you don't know how these people feel. And I'm very confident you will know how they feel, whether they've done it by consensus or voting or whatever. You're going to know about that. I would also add, and I make a standing invitation to any of you, we can get airport tours and tower briefings with the FAA, and we'd be happy to do that. I know Commissioner Adams has been at the airport, and I hope that was time well spent for you.
So I wanted to follow up on one thing. You said that the recommendations would be advisory to the port and the city. So I just want to clearly understand what it is that we're going to be advised and what the format is, because I thought I heard earlier that these recommendations would go to the port to be part of their future plan. What is it that will be asked to approve or consider as a result of this process?
In the end, the Port of Portland Commission, I as staff, will deliver to the Port Commission a master plan, and we will ask them to endorse that and send it up to the FAA. I can put anything in that plan based on the input that we get from citizens and other sources and based on my judgment. In the end, they can vote. Commissioner Olson or her replacement are going to vote to approve or disapprove that. So
that's not my question.
Okay, I'm not understanding.
You said in your testimony just now that this group will make an advisory recommendation to both the City Council and the Port Commission. And I'm asking you what the forum or format is that we will be advised from. Is it a report, a document, a...
I'm not sure I have an answer for you. There will be a body of a record of their discussions in the form of minutes and things. There may be a final report that comes from them that is appended to the master plan or to the land use. But I don't think I have an answer for
you.
Did
you misspeak when you said that it is advisory to the council?
Well, no, I think they'll be advisory. I just can't describe to you the vehicle with which they'll give you that advice. They're going to come before you.
Okay. So, but it's, that's actually what I was trying to figure out. There will be something that we will consider as a result of this process.
As I said, you should be informed. You should understand what this advisory group has said and the input they've given us. And if we don't do that, and I can't tell you exactly how, we will have failed. That's what I can tell you today. I'm less confident describing exactly, is it a report? Will we actually include it in the master plan document and how they would do that in the legislative process? But again, you need to know what they have said and what others
right.
have said.
No, that's why I didn't really accept when it was said earlier, this is just a group that will make recommendations to the port, because I don't buy that. There'll be something that comes to us, and I'm just trying to figure out
Commissioner, if I could might help you a little bit here. When you were out of the room briefly, Jay showed this slide that's on your screen now, and it basically shows that this group will be charged with recommending things to on two tracks there, both to the port in terms of its master plan and to the Planning Commission and Council. And the things that come to the Planning Commission and Council, and they will submit their own form letter that goes along with it, but what will be transmitted to Planning Commission and Council will be comprehensive plan amendments, zoning code amendments, a bundle of agreements that should be memorialized around things that aren't strictly put in the zoning code, sort of good neighbor policies and so forth.
That
flow goes along that line to the city, to the Planning Commission and Council.
So those two tracks that start emanate from the same body of recommendations that will happen at the end of this process.
Yes.
So in fact, if there is, for instance, I wouldn't support a third runway, but it is an issue of concern. But if that report contained to the Port Commission a future plan that would include a third runway, what you're saying is they would take that same information and make sure it was put in the proper format to make recommendations to the Portland Planning Commission for the technical aspect of
right.
land use approval that would need to be considered by the Planning Commission and the Council to make that happen.
Yes. And for example, I would imagine it would say something like this. If they ever got to the point where they would say at some point in the future a third runway may be warranted, what it would say to the Planning Commission and Council would be, that may be the case, but only after the port reaches 500,000 trips and
yeah.
it goes through this future process or something.
I understand all that. I'm just
yeah.
trying to figure out logistically what happens the day the gavel drops and the report's done.
Right.
And I think that answers that for me. Thank you.
Very quickly, I just wanted the next steps. So next week, the Port Commission will be also considering this same IGA. We have our first PAG meeting scheduled for the end of this month, June 26th. And we're also doing a tour out at the airport and an all-day event for the advisory group on July 14th. We'll come back to council, as I mentioned, four times throughout this process. We're trying to make sure that we come back to the decision makers as we make key decisions in the process, that folks have an opportunity to provide input. And then, as I mentioned, adoption of the land use plan and the PDX master plan in the winter, spring 2010. So just to be very clear, the action requested of council today, amend the 2004 IGA. There are a number of provisions in there, primarily to amend the 2004 IGA to add the city's work program, which is the justification for the $820,000 we're requesting from the port to pay for city staff. And that's principally two Bureau Planning staff, as well as additional support for the Office of Transportation. There are some minor provisions in there about extending the term and also for setting up the joint website, the legal issues surrounding that. And, of course, we welcome your feedback on the planning advisory group, but this is not a formal action that we're requesting at this time.
So I think we want to hear from Bill.
Yeah, and before you open it for public testimony, we'd like to offer Bill Blosser a few minutes.
Sure. Did you have a PowerPoint that showed the members of the committee?
Yes.
How's that? Are you saving that for later? Okay.
I have a feeling it might come up.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor and commissioners, thank you very much for the chance to say a few words. And I just wanted to basically limit to Commissioner Adams' question about how is this committee going to operate? And My vice chair, Dave Smith, and I have gotten together and discussed this at some length, as well as we've discussed it with staff. And my very strong feeling is two things have to happen. And that's, I sort of see my job as chair is to make